morning. My name is Chitra Dwarka. As a panel captain, it's been my privilege to help organize the discussion on the board, CEO, and CIO roles in dealing with digital disruption. Please welcome our moderator, Peter Weil, Senior Research Scientist and Chairman of the Center of Information Systems Research at MIT Sloan. Peter?
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Let me try that one more time. Good morning, everyone. That's better. That's very MIT. So I know, another welcome to MIT. It's really great to have you with us. And we even put on a beautiful day. We're very proud to welcome you to the MIT CIO Symposium. And I have the ambitious task of facilitating a panel on the board, the CEO, and the CIO roles in dealing with digital disruption. So I have a plan, and the plan is I'd like to spend about 5 minutes sharing with you some research we've just completed on this question, and then I'm delighted to welcome a great set of panelists to help us unwrap some of these issues and share their insights and best practices. And we'll finish with some questions, so please start thinking about questions or comments you have. We have microphones here. Before I get started, though, MIT CISA is very proud to be a co-organizer this year of the symposium. And I was asked just to say a word or two about MIT CISA. I'm the chairman, and it's a research center. There are many research centers at MIT. And CISA stands for the Center for Information Systems Research. And we do one thing, which is we study and work with companies on how they're going to thrive in a digital economy. And you can see on my slides when they come back up. Do I have to shake my right foot? There we go. You see, that works every time. Thank you. So the CISA is a group of 95 companies, and we do a series of research projects every year. And we'd love you to participate, use our research, give us feedback, and generally engage with us. So we're very proud to be co-organizers of this event. I thought we should start with a little conversation about what we think of as digital disruption. So for me, digital disruption is all about how increasing digitization is going to impact your company's future success. So we can think about new entrants to your industry. We can, if you're in a bank, fintech is hugely threatening right now, with lots of small chips away at your business model. We also have existing businesses reinventing themselves. Think of any retailer becoming omnichannel. And we also see the breaking down of industry barriers. Are we a retailer? Are we a bank? What are we? So these kinds of opportunities are fascinating to me. And I just finished a four-week trip where I tried to do Uber only. Now, I nearly succeeded. A couple of cities didn't quite work. And I have to say it was a great experience. Unless, of course, you're a cab driver in LA. Because, I don't know if you know this, but the cab industry revenue in Los Angeles last year reduced by 24%. That's a serious disruption. And the question is, how are you, in your industries, going to respond to that and, more importantly, take advantage of that? So in trying to understand this, we did a survey last November of board members of large companies. And we asked them a series of questions, in particular, how big a deal is digital disruption to you? And their answer was significant. In fact, the board members estimated that 32% of their company's revenues are under threat in the next 5 years from digital disruption. So I thought what we'd do is use the board as the entry point into having this conversation about the various roles in a company in a world of digital disruption. And so Stephanie Warner and I, who's a research scientist at MIT CISA, have just completed a study of boards where we've interviewed a number of board members and done a series of case studies. And we've come up with a framework that describes what we think the role of the board is in digital disruption. And we'll use that as an entry point to then say, what's the role of the CEO and the CIO and other executives? As I describe these three roles, I'd like you in your mind to give a score, a percentile effectiveness score, for each of these three areas. So the first role we believe the board has to perform is defensive, the green role. And that's about cybersecurity and about regulation and data privacy and those kinds of things, keeping the company out of trouble. So how good's your board at doing that? The second is oversight. How does the board oversee the major transformation initiatives in the company? And there may be many, particularly around digital and IT transformation and other kinds of spend that are around the Internet of Things or whatever the focus is. And finally, the third role is the red role, which is strategic. How does the board help the company think about the new business models, the disruption issues, how they're going to make profits and revenues 5-10 years from now? So just take a moment to think about how good your board is at doing these things. And now I'll share with you data of the senior executives we worked with and their assessments of their own boards. Now, I'd have to say, they wouldn't be an A at MIT, those scores. In fact, you would argue there's work to do in terms of boards and the rest of the organization in dealing with digital disruption. So I honestly couldn't think of a better group of individuals to join me on stage to discuss these issues, starting with the board and then unpacking the other roles. So could you please join me in welcoming my panelists, and I'll introduce them once they're seated. So welcome to the stage. Okay. So you didn't sit in the pre-assigned seats. That's okay.
You take direction pretty well.
These are very cute, these little couches. Okay, so on my left, we have Pablo Ciano, who is the CIO of DHL for the Americas. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Next to him is Jenny Banner, who is on two boards. She's on the Atlanta Federal Reserve Board and also on the board of a super-regional bank, BB&T. Welcome. Next to her, someone from just across the road, the CIO of State Street, Chris Peretta. And sitting next to him is Derek Roos, who is the CEO of Mendix, just north of Boston. So welcome to you all. Thank you. Jenny, I thought we'd start with you. What's it like to be on a board of a big bank these days?
It is. I've served on boards for about 15 years, and it is drastically different from what it was 15 years ago. It's a lot of strategic pressure, so I love the fact that the strategic circle is red. That is where the action is. 10 or 15 years ago, I would have said I serve on a bank board or a financial services board. I don't think I would have said it was a tech board. But today it feels like a tech board. And it feels like one that is under siege by 1,000 piranhas chipping away at various business lines and profit centers. And the board is becoming acutely aware. I would say the curve of change is really steepening right now to address really fintech. And A lot of reading. The board packages are extensive. They can even make your iPad be heavy. 1,000 pages for the board itself, another 500 for a committee. We struggle to have committee meetings fit into a half a day and a board meeting the same. It's insane.
Jenny, how do you balance those three circles on that diagram? How do you think about allocating the time? How do you balance those demands?
Well, the CIO is very critical in balancing those demands. If I think 10 years ago, if I'd been in the elevator with the CIO heading up to the boardroom, I don't know that I would have known the CIO. That's sad, but true. The CIO at that time was very much in those first two bands, in really oversight, in defense, working on changing out the general ledger, for example, or starting to build the immune system of the organization to address cyber. But really not in strategy, not in our board meetings, perhaps in the committee meetings, rarely. So now the CIO is the field general, the person in charge of all the Navy SEALs, the rock star, whatever term you want to put on that. The CIO position is absolutely critical in helping the board move into that strategy band.
Thank you. Chris, does that feel that way to you as CIO of State Street?
Yeah, I think my favorite story is on my previous job, my old boss told me, going to the board is like going to Chernobyl. You got to get in and out as fast as you can. And exposure is not necessarily a good thing. But I think now, especially in large banks where that, the defensive circle is getting bigger and bigger, and board members take a personal responsibility. So, and frankly, it feels like that the line between governance and management is being pushed down due to that level of personal responsibility. So I think the kind of discussions we have at the board are much more detailed and much more intricate into both tactics and strategy as well. And so you see, I think, more technology committees and the hunt for board members that can really understand it and to put it in the proper context. I think that's part of my job, is be able to put things in the right commercial context. And in the regulatory context as well, the environmental context, for lack of a better word.
Right. So I've seen this line change too, particularly in my home country of Australia, where boards are very hands-on, strategic. Why do you think it's changed? Is it the risk? What is it that's
changed? I think it is the risk. And I think, the risk, the whole idea of risk excellence is top of mind. And really, as part of the organizations are being drilled into the top priorities. You were trying to drill that in. Banks are drilling that into the DNA of organizations to say, before it was make your number and, oh, by the way, take care of risk. Right now it's, you got to take care of risk. And, the bottom line is I can blow my budget and I might get clipped a little from a financial standpoint. If I blow the risk line, that's it.
It's
right?
Serious.
And you don't get three strikes and you're out. You typically get one strike and you're out. So I think the whole culture of managing through risk and from a CIO perspective, it's a particular challenge because those are pretty tough technical problems to solve when they get translated into the technology components, right? So, I have an endowed chair at the Examining and Audit Committee, and it's not the most comfortable sometimes, but it's easy. The new stuff is fun, and it's kind of neat, and you can make investments. Addressing, legacy organizations and legacy infrastructure and that we're trying to make do things that wasn't really designed to do gets complex, and the rules are always changing. And to be able to abstract those problems in a way that you can actually build capabilities in the organization, not only to deal with today's regulatory concern, but the ones that are likely to follow on are kind of like the key things that I worry about.
Okay. Just One final question for you, Chris. What does digital disruption mean to State Street? You talk about it at the board.
I
want to ask the same question of DHL.
I think great question, because traditionally, State Street's we service financial institutions. We service assets. We it's called custody. We take care of other people's assets. We manage assets. So we're not really we're not a consumer bank. So traditionally, you felt protected by the fact that it was a very closed, the number of people in that business was limited, and basically the regulation relating to it was a pretty big barrier to entry. But in today's world, where more and more, and I think you mentioned it, Peter, is there are more and more people who can, the competition is not coming from traditional places, and there are certain things that banks do that you don't need to be a bank to do. So the amount of people that can attack you or disintermediate you is growing. And so it's not enough to know what the competition does, right? Because, you're going to win some, they're going to win some. You want to be better, you want market share. But then there's somebody that can come out from left field and really kind of disrupt your business. So you want to be there. You want to be there first, right? Okay. So there's a little bit more urgency, I think. So speed is a big deal. We need to go faster. I think we talked about that already today. And we have to be more reliable, but we also have to manage the risk better. And I think you can whine about it, but sometimes you can say, well, no, I'm going to take that all as my competitive landscape, and I'm going to play up the fact that I manage risk well, and I'm going to play up the fact that I'm in regulated environments, and I got to move fast to kind of take advantage of the market, where that market insight that a startup might not have. So it's I think the scope of what you have to worry about is even broader than it used to be.
Okay. Pablo, DHL's changing fast, right? So what does digital disruption mean to your company?
Yeah. So probably it doesn't come that much from a point of view of competitive threat. It comes more as an opportunity to optimize our operations. The profile of the logistics business has been changing significantly because of the growth of e-commerce. 5 years ago, 5% of our deliveries were only related to e-commerce purchases or B2C deliveries. Now it is 45%. So the complexities that is bringing into the logistics business are significant. The last mile, the failures that we have in terms of delivering these shipments is extremely high and having a significant operational impact. So the disruption is not a match coming from new entrants into the business, but how can we make our business more effective? And that's why we are working on multiple ways to interact with these consumers who are not our customers. These are the Amazon's customers or Apple's customers. So we need to interact with these receivers. We need to optimize the last mile delivery. We need to reduce operational failures. And technology is playing a critical role in making that happen. We are working on multiple delivery options, interacting through digital platforms with these receivers who we don't know who they are or where they are. And technology is helping us bridge that gap and offer delivery options, offer ways to schedule deliveries in a much more flexible and dynamic way compared to what we were doing before. So really the digital disruption is more about how we can, with this changing profile of our logistics business, how we can continue to be competitive, optimize our operations, and at the same time provide a good customer experience.
So what's an example of something you're really excited about that you've introduced to DHL?
Yeah, I think that one is that we are piloting right now in Germany, which is pretty cool, is that we are working with Amazon and Audi, the car company, to allow receivers to allow the delivery person to leave the package in the cars, in the trunks. Mm. So an Audi customer or an Audi owner will be able to accept the delivery of the package into their trunk. Audi will send a one-time code for the driver to open the trunk of the car and leave the package in the car, right? So, which is something, of course, we are piloting. Might not be recommended for countries, with high security issues, because you might find the package but not the car, right? So it's something that, that is probably in the high end, in extreme of innovation, but that is all around, it's all about delivery options. We are partnering with third-party delivery locations to, through technology, integrate with them and allow consumers to choose to pick up the package from any type of retail store, like the CVS's of the US or many other retail chains in Europe. So it's all about delivery options. It's all about convenience. It's all about expanding the way that these consumers, driven by the B2C purchases, can choose from where they want to pick up their packages.
Fantastic. I want to come back to our two CIOs and ask you in a moment about interacting with the board and get Jenny's thoughts on that. But before I do that, I want to talk to our disruptor on the panel, Derek. You're the CEO of one of these disruptors, right? You're causing all this trouble. What does it feel like to be a disruptor as a CEO of a small company who's, you know, growing fast? What does it feel like?
What does it feel like? Well, it's very rewarding to disrupt the market and see customers have real business impact with our product and our platform, of course. But we look at this from a different angle, obviously, being a disruptor, as you say. And we're much smaller, a few hundred employees only. But having seen over 500 clients and thousands of projects over the past few years, there are a few things that I think impact the success that we see over and over again. And it relates to this issue of leadership. And not only from a board perspective, but also from a management perspective. So what we see is critical in these projects, in these digital transformation initiatives, is that it comes all the way from the CIO, the CEO. He needs to own it. And since every company is now a software company or technology company, essentially, no matter what industry you're in, if you're DHL or State Street, you should look at yourself as a technology company. And that means that being a software company ourselves is that everybody's in the technology department. Everybody's in the IT department. So it's not just the CIO that is responsible. It's the CEO, it's the CMO, it's every business leader. And that means that the CIO is no longer just the head of IT. He needs to be the business leader as well. And his organization needs to transform from what used to be the provider of all things IT to be much more of an enabling function within the organization, enable other business units and business leaders to take part in that process. So that's where we help. It was hard when we started the company to explain this because it was, you know, more than 5 years ago. Nobody had heard of digital transformation as a thing, or as much as today. So it's certainly become a lot easier. Seeing the impact and seeing companies like insurance companies, like logistics companies transform into a much more nimble, lean and mean technology company and having impact and grow, even in industries that are, you know, under a lot of pressure, is makes me feel we have a lot of impact.
Is there a characteristic, a single thing you could describe to us that indicates companies that are more successful in you working with them, better able to transform? Is there some characteristic about companies that are better than that versus other companies who are not?
Yeah, well, it starts with leadership, which I mentioned. The second thing, I think, relates to speed, as been mentioned before, to time to market. And what's critical, we found, is that you can't just take your existing IT organization, your existing developer team, your existing methods and infrastructure and decide to go faster, right? It doesn't work like that. You may be able to incrementally or marginally improve efficiency and speed, but by no means is going to accelerate a 10x or 20x a time to market. So you have to do things differently. I'll just give you one example of one of our customers, which is a large insurance firm. And they were struggling with, they were feeling pressure from different sides. Old company, and they realized they needed to innovate faster. So there was a new CEO who brought in a new CIO, and they had thousands of developers working hard to sort of keep the lights on, so to speak. But they quickly realized they needed to do things differently. So what they did was create what they called a fast-track innovation team, which wasn't on the IT side only. It was a cross-functional team across all departments that would be responsible for bringing back the time to market of a new product, new insurance product, which would take them 18 months before, bring it back to, well, as quickly as possible. So what they did was put that team together, cross-functional team, both IT and business. We supported them from a platform perspective, obviously, and very nimble, you know, 10 people initially, and they were able to bring back the time to market of a new product from 18 months to 3 weeks. And now they're able to test new products under different brands until they test them and figure out if it's worth actually incorporating under the umbrella brand, and do that in a matter of weeks. So I would say that the defining characteristic there is think differently, number one. So think like a startup, right? Organize yourselves like a startup. And don't try to make, you know, 1,000 developers go faster. That's not going to work. Plus, there will be a lot of resistance from those organizations and a lot of reasons why things cannot be done. So you have to sort of isolate a team. But the key here is, because many companies have labs or innovation teams, that's nothing new. The key is to put them on your most important projects. So give them the exposure, give them the visibility, and give them the, empower them to have real business impact that, you know, touches the customer. And, you know, accept that they may fail too. That's part of it as well. Don't just go for the funded projects that have low risk. You know, fail, but fail fast.
Pablo, Chris, what do you think? You behave differently, act like a startup. Does this work in your companies? How many employees at DHL?
500,000.
That's quite a few, yeah. So what's your reaction to Derek's advice, and how do you think about this, the changing role of the CIO?
I think that, you know, a lot of course, very interesting thoughts. Sometimes, as we were discussing before, introducing change in companies like ours is like changing the airplane engine when you are flying, and you need to, you know, be careful of doing that. I don't know actually if that's feasible at all, but it's all about pace. You know, the technology is changing so fast that we as CIOs, we need to make sure that we are a little bit of a gatekeepers and providing good advice to the board in terms of what is the pace at which we can introduce all these changes. And sometimes, especially when you're operating in 220 countries around the world and you are a network so that you cannot introduce a change here without forgetting that you have to go to the other countries, it's difficult sometimes to introduce some of these changes. And it's all about choosing which ones could be developed with a small group with, you know, a vision of global scalability versus which ones need to be deployed at the same time all over. So it's difficult to say one size fits all, but it's all about pace and prioritization and making sure that whatever we are doing is something that the organization can absorb and that will add value, not because of the sake of a new technology that we're deploying, but because the business from a digital platform in terms of processes, systems, and people require that we introduce those changes.
So you wear a second hat.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and you know, how you keep both hats on your head at the same time.
Yeah, it's probably two hats in the two extremes of the hat universe, right? It's IT on one, and the other one, a year ago, I was offered the opportunity to run customer service for DHL in the Americas, which includes 22 call centers from Canada to Argentina and 3,000 advisors and agents. And the, of course, the rhythm and the pace of customer service, there's always something going on every single hour. And of course, IT, you know, five-year programs, and of course, different pace. So it's an interesting balance. I think that it's given me an opportunity to understand the role that the CIOs are playing in the boards. From a CS customer service perspective, I am much more of a functional owner. I own a function and I need to deliver on the objectives of that function versus CIO, where you are probably much more a holistic advisor to the CEO in terms of what is going in every single function. And that's, you know, what I can perceive in terms of my two different hats. One is, again, advising the CEO in terms of what's going on in every single function, because from an IT perspective, you can touch every single corner of the company, versus customer service, which is not only the pace, but also the more siloed functional responsibility. And that's what I think that gives a good example of the difference between the CIO responsibility and any other type of functional responsibility.
Mm. Are there big synergies between the two roles?
Not so much, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. There are, of course, because There is nothing that happens today in any business without technology.
Right.
So from a CIO perspective, I am involved in every single major program, a new product, new processes, anything that is new needs to go through IT to some extent. So I was already involved in every single function. But it's such a different, again, pace, organization, skills. You know, of course, customer service is much more about leading people versus technology, which is about understanding the processes and making sure that we can deliver value to the business through technology.
Thanks. Jenny, let's go back to boards. Did those percentages in the three circles surprise you?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really.
No. What's worked for you in boards in having better conversations, more effective conversations? What's worked for you on your boards?
Well, it's some divide and conquer, some from the top down, some from the bottom up. I am probably the squeaky wheel in our boardroom around digital disruption. This world is changing. We cannot think of ourselves as a bank and insurance company any longer. That's very dangerous. So there is a great degree of discussion going on amongst the board members. I'm starting conversations with them and trying to challenge them to sending them reading materials and bringing things to light. We certainly brought Scissor in to shake things up a bit. As well, and probably even more valuable than that is to going to the CEO directly and saying, you know, I'm concerned. What is our digital strategy? What is our answer to PayPal? What about Venmo? What about these kids? I have a couple of teenagers who keep me pretty well informed on how the world is changing. And, you know, most recently, our 19-year-old asked me what a check was. And if she if she needed those, she also asked if she had a bank account. She had her phone in her hand, and she said, I know I have this app, but do I have a bank account? Okay. I think in 10 years, she may not have a bank account. She may still have the app.
That's so true.
So, I mean, it's really, there's something very interesting going on in both executive managements and inside of the boardroom around sort of almost a sentimentality. If you have an executive management team and everybody has been there 30 plus years, particularly if you have a CIO who's just been a long time in the seat, the CIO himself has said, you know, time in this seat may be a detriment, not a benefit. So it's really just sort of roll of thunder, hear the cry. This world is changing. You can have also in the boardroom, you can have people in that boardroom who are older, who are retired, who are out of the stream of commerce if they are retired. And it surprises me the level of unawareness. So
we're going to ask for questions from the audience in a moment. But you are seated between two CIOs. And so my question to you is, what do you want as a board member from a CIO? And before you answer that, let me just share a little data. We asked the board members in this survey to give a percentage effectiveness scores to the senior executives in the company on how good they were at helping board members navigate digital disruption. And the CIO had the highest score at 82%, with quite a big gap to the CEO and then another gap to the CMO and then a big gap to HR. So I was wondering, if you're sitting between two CIOs, what do you want from them as a board member? And then I'm going to ask the two CIOs, you know, how do you do that? Please.
If I could build the perfect CIO from the ground up, I would make sure that CIO could play in all three of those rings. I would want a CIO who could build the team to handle the transformation projects, changing out the big legacy systems, et cetera. Build a team for that. Cyber, build a sub-team for that. Strategy, that CIO needs to be sitting on the right hand of the CEO, educating the CEOs, educating the board, translating, ringing the bell and coming in, don't come in with 1,000 pages of PowerPoint decks and heat maps. Come into the boardroom, put your fist down, and say, there's a war on. There's a completely different game that is in town. And it's not coming from those names that you have listed as your peer group. Okay, so I want a CIO who can explain all of that and who can then, I think if we can get strategic sessions between the CIO, executive management, of course the CEO and the board, you know, I'd put us all in a room, make it like electing the next pope, okay? Nobody's going anywhere until we have had a really honest, deep discussion about
and the white smoke comes out, right? Yeah.
Nobody's leaving until that discussion has been had.
Chris, what's worked for you in meeting that set of goals? You know, what do you agree? And what's worked for you?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, the table stakes are just absolute clarity and realistic appraisal of the current situation, right? So, and when you work in IT, there's always some opportunities for improvement, right? Because here's what's working, here's what's not working. So, and I think it really does have to be fact-based and put in commercial context. And that doesn't need to be financial, but it needs to be at the very first. It says here are the business solutions or challenges we're trying to solve, and here's what's going to work, and here's what's standing in the way. To be able to connect the dots between things that are from the board's perspective several degrees separated from commercial results. And so, for instance, you know, in financial services, IT has got a role supporting the business, but to a great extent, it is the product, right? So it's engineering. And I think we to convince the board that how we make things actually matters, right? And it's true, and when you lose sight of that, then you're losing sight of your product, and you lose sight of your product, and then you're in big trouble. So being able to put these things in commercial context and to be able to bubble them up to exactly what the strategic efforts are. So for example, when we undertook our transformation, we had to put the transformation in terms of exactly how many basis points of margin we were going to deliver, how many, you know, what is going to be the net, you know, net income of the business, and we had to connect the dots between what we were doing and the financials. And if you couldn't do that, the board's going to say, why do I care, right? Because that's their job. Their job is to serve the shareholders and the other stakeholders, and unless you can connect them and willing to put in the work to actually connect them to the fact that a reasonable person would say, yep, you did that over there, and that resulted in X basis points of margin, you're going to lose the board, right? Because they're busy, and, you know, that's what they're there for the success of the organization. So, and I also think is to be very responsive they set the tone, and so to be attentive as to areas of concern and to address them in a clear and concise way, right? And to give someone an unvarnished view of what they want to get done. But first and foremost, I think it's giving the board line of sight between what IT does and what the business result is, whatever they choose it to be.
Thanks. Derek, what doesn't work in digital disruption? You produce in your company products for agile and fast development of platforms. One of the big things that companies struggle with is prioritization and figuring out where you said do the most important things, but how do we do that? What have you found works and doesn't work in working with companies on prioritization and getting that fast kind of sure. mark to market?
Sure. I think a couple of things. First of all, you cannot see this as a IT issue only, right? First and foremost, it's a business issue. This is about survival of the company, right? This is about innovation. It's about how do I position the company competitively? How do I equip my people to win in the marketplace? And obviously, CIO has a critical role to play when it comes to the execution of those strategies. But it cannot be an IT issue only. So it needs to be shared and owned by multiple people. So that's sort of the first thing I would say. In terms of prioritization, it comes in our field, at least, I think it's all about focusing on those things that help the company differentiate and innovate faster. This is not about cost. This is not about efficiency, doing things a little bit cheaper or better or a little bit faster. This is about disruption. This is about thinking outside of the box. This is about new products, new channels, customer experience, customer engagement. Those are the topics we are talking about. Those I would prioritize, because they may have a 10x impact on the company over time versus, internal efficiency. So that's a big shift we see. Not everybody is there yet in that things like that yet, but we see that trend. Also accept that not every project can have a certain outcome. Well, it's very hard, and traditionally, a company, as was just said, try to only prioritize the top two or top three projects on the backlog. And everybody has a backlog. And usually prioritize what hurts most today. And there's a business case and it's approved and we sort of know what the outcome is. But if you only think like that, you're gonna miss out on some, maybe riskier ideas that have a potentially much more higher or bigger upside. So how do you balance those two things? So it comes back to what sometimes described as bimodal IT. So you can do one of both. You need to do both, but you have to do them in different speeds, with different people, with different tools, different platforms, but you need to do both.
Okay, great. So questions. We have microphones down the front. Please come down and stand in front of a microphone, introduce yourself and ask questions. Since I don't see anyone doing that, just come down, please. Sorry. Quite bright light. I'm just going to stand here. There we go. If you could introduce yourself and ask your question, please. Richard.
Sure. Hi, Dr. Richard Singerman. I'm on the health panel later on today, and I guess since I'm MIT undergrad class of 87, I've, just like the old days, asked the first question. So in healthcare, hospital systems often have a CMIO, that's a chief medical informatics officer, the doc who's really kind of working with the other docs, and it's kind of that interface between the frontline physicians and the IT department. And then separately, they have the CIO. We had a guy who would like sit in the parking lot and actually try and break into his own systems from a car to see if he could do it mobily. And they were both working 70-hour a week jobs. So as I'm hearing these other industries, and the CIO has got to be managing risk, doing legacy transformations, keeping up on the financial impact with his MBA that I guess he got on the side. And he's got to be the peer of the CEO. This sounds like a lot for one person, just not being in these other industries. So I'd love to hear about that.
Great question. And we just broaden the question to say, every industry, there's technology everywhere. Healthcare, manufacturing, Internet of Things is impacting all of us. So we've got mini CIOs all over the company, right? So, Pablo, what do you think?
Yeah, I think
can you do the job?
Well, I'm trying. I think that a very good question, of course, in the way that we are handling that in DHL is that we have a CIO that is more on the business side. That's why we call ourselves business IT, not pure IT. So we have a business IT CIO, which is my responsibility. And we are sitting at the intersection of IT and technology. And we have an internal CTO, which is more the person that is responsible for the infrastructure and data centers and bringing those technologies to meet the business demands. So we are the ones that are interfacing with the business, and we are trying to make sure that we have a good balance between business and technology, and that we can interpret